all of you that helped us participate in the service up to this point. We're grateful for you, and that we appreciate that so very much. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Isn't it great to be a Christian? After shout hallelujah, we surely want to be able to say it's great to be a Christian. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody said, amen. Scripture tells us that in Ephesians 3:20 and 21. It's always a great privilege for us to be together as the body of Christ. It's always my honor to be with you and have the opportunity to present to you a lesson from the Word of God. In just a minute, we're going to talk about the concept of being steadfast. I'll say a few things about that for us this morning. But before I get started, I want to pay tribute to a couple of people. The first one that I'm going to mention is our brother Jerome Savage. Now, I go way back with Jerome and another fellow by the name of Joseph Lyon, Joe Lyon. I was a little bitty guy growing up out in California, and we learned to pray for the lions and the savages in Africa. We had a new preacher one time that came by our classroom and overheard this classroom praying, and we were praying for the lions and the savages in Africa. And afterward, he took the teacher aside. He said, "You got to explain to me about that." And when she did, why, she was able to let him know that this was the missionaries, Jerome Savage and Joe Lyon, who labored tirelessly 30-plus years in Africa. Brother Joe passed away a week ago last Wednesday, I do believe. And, Jerome. Joe passed away in 2010. They had a strong connection to me in my life. They influenced me about being a preacher and about wanting to serve the Lord because they were great servants. Now, you probably remember Mary Hill. That was her daddy, Jerome Savage. We had quite a connection. When I first came to Henderson, to South Maine, and she brought her folks, sat right back there, and he listened to me preach. And to my knowledge, that was his first time he ever heard me preach. And I got the opportunity to tell him how much that meant to me. And when I would go to New York with Focus Northeast, the preacher in White Plains, New York, Dick Boyd, his father-in-law, unbeknownst to me, was Joe Lyon. Joe's wife had passed away, and when we got there about 2003 or 4, the first time I went to White Plains, here was Joe Lyon, and I got to shake his hand and spend the week with him as we preached the gospel there in White Plains, New York. Just a little sideline. Thanks for entertaining me. Let me say that to you. But I think it's great for us to mention people that have influenced our lives. Joe Lyon and Jerome Savage influenced mine. God bless them for what they did for me. Then, one of our very own, your all's very own, Jacob Goode. He grew up here, didn't he? Come on, can I get an amen? All right. Well, if you look over here, we got a vacant spot. The Goode family is all down in Waco, Texas, because Jacob and Felicia became husband and wife last night. Everybody said amen to that. I think it's great to mention this. Well, if you'll turn with me in your Bible to Philippians chapter 1, let's get into our lesson. You know, I've just come back from the East Coast, over in Pennsylvania. We were at Lewistown, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say to all of you that support us to go, and there's lots of you that do that on the side as well, I appreciate so much you making it possible for me and Rosemary to go to the Northeast and teach the gospel of Christ up there. I want you to know the whole congregation wanted me to say to you, thank you. Thank you for sending us, sharing us with them for a period of time so we could encourage them. And you know that. I know that you understand the idea of going through life and knowing that there are times when you need to be encouraged. And when you live in a depressed area, an area where a lot of rough times have hit and the church is not very large there, somebody coming from somewhere else, and I kept it toned down. I didn't embarrass you, okay? And I tried to keep it real monotone. Y'all believe that, right? That's too many going, no. Okay, so I came in there and tried to charge them up a little bit. But that's the idea behind it. They're so grateful for that. And that is a great work. I'm saying that to you because the subject matter I want us to talk about today is being a consistent, diligent, devoted, steadfast Christian. You know how hard that is when just a small group gets together? I think back over the years of 13 or 14 years doing Focus Northeast, and when I go there, one of the first things I notice is the faces that are still there, that there to encourage us, that we've grown to love as we go there. And then I think about the faces that are not there. Some of them have passed on, gone to their reward. Some of them have fallen away from the Lord, and they're not there. That saddens me. And so they send me out to visit with them and encourage them. I try to do that. I want you to think about that. Now, I know you've already heard we have a little speaker problem this morning. That's just Satan shooting at us, but you notice he's not very good at hitting us. Okay? So we're still doing it. We're trying to work through that. You might hear a pop or two every once in a while, but that's we're working on that, trying to get it fixed. I think that's what we're hoping to do. We're in the Scripture, Philippians 1. You ready to go? Verse 21. Is there a greater phrase here that starts, for me to live is Christ? I hope that's your motto. I hope that you'll take that and go away from here today and repeat that to yourself if you can't remember anything else. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. I know that if you're young, you probably don't want to think about those things like that, but we all know that it's a possibility any old time, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. But to live is Christ, and to die will be gain. I hope you'll remember that. If I am to go on living in the body, says Paul, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? As though we had some choice. I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. I'm looking forward, Doug, to going to heaven. Are you? The older you get, the more you begin to realize what a great prize that is to look forward toward. But I am thankful to God to be with you this morning so that I hopefully can be of some kind of profit to you. If I don't profit you, I'm going to profit me, because I've studied a lot about what I'm getting ready to say. I'm already benefiting. I hope you get some of it. That's what Paul was saying, wasn't he? He was saying it would be better to go. I'd love to go and be home with Jesus Christ. That is better. But if I stay, and I'm going to stay, and I'm going to see that my labor with you is a fruitful thing. Because he says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. In other words, I'll just make you happy to be in Christ Jesus. I hope you go out of here today like this. Happy to be in Christ. That's what we're supposed to be. That's what God has done for us. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner that is worthy of the gospel. No matter what happens in life, no matter what you're faced with and what comes upon you, be ready. Conduct yourselves in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. And then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know. Are you listening? Listen to what he says. I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. And you believe that anybody can whoop God? How many of you believe somebody can whoop him? How many of you believe they can deter him? If you don't believe that, and you're in Christ, that means you're in the Lord, God Himself. There's not anybody, nothing that we will face that can conquer you if God's on your side. All right. Trying to pump you up a little bit here so you can go and tell others what a great thing that is. And what is it that helps us to reach that kind of a potential so that we, from God's perspective, that is given in the church, and we can do that together as a body of Christ. What makes a great group of people? Oh man, I could go on all morning about this group of people, Ray. All the good, marvelous works that come forth from here. All of the wonderful things that take place in our community and around our world and in the travels of other folks as we carry the message and teach the Word of God. Think about the work that's being done in the prison. Wow, what a godsend. Look, we don't have any control over what a person does after we have taught them about the Lord Jesus. It's important that we've taught them and let them take the Lord with them to wherever they go. And may God be with them that they will preach it and teach it to their families and to other people. How many of it does it take for it to be a success? I know that we don't want you to get the idea that we're just hoping and basking in the great numbers. That's not it. We're basking in souls for Jesus Christ. Can I get a hallelujah today? Yeah, that was a strange one. You thought I was going to say amen. See, this is hallelujah. You know, it's okay to say hallelujah, don't you? There's not a thing in the world wrong with that. Be excited about what God did for us. We know that when we surrender to Jesus Christ, we sing, all to Jesus I surrender. I surrender all. I'm giving Him my everything. That means I want to stay steadfast and live a confident life. God wants us to find our security not in ourselves, not in the elders or the preacher, not in the church, but in Him. Our confidence is in God through Christ Jesus, who died for us and who loves us. Those are those great songs. Stephen, thanks. You got every one of my favorite songs in this morning, especially when you sing about the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Amen? Oh, His mercies never come to an end. What a wonderful thing to remember and to know. When's the last time you just sat down with Psalm 23 and just got personal with it and said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me ready to lie down in the green pastures. And he leadeth me, Tom, beside the still waters. He restores whose soul? He restores mine. He restores your soul, doesn't he? These are powerful words that should embolden and encourage us as we're living our life today. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, not mine. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. That's God doing that for us. And Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now you see all us old bald boys and this shines. Do you know why it's shining? We've been anointed with oil. Am I right about that, Bobby? Okay. How about you back there, Jackie? Bend your head down, let me see. Attaboy. That's what I'm talking about. Oil. And this is talking about the concept, the idea of being anointed as a chosen one. And I'm just making an illustration to say to you, all of us that are bald know we're chosen. Yeah, because we've been anointed with the oil. But so have you. All of you have been anointed with the anointed one if you're in Christ Jesus. He anoints our head with oil so that we can understand and have a marvelous overflowing of our cup. My cup runneth over, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of whose life? Your life. My life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When David is writing, he says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. And I'm trying to take a moment this morning to remind you of the benefits of being in Christ. No matter whether you stay here or you go there, you are in good hands. It's not Allstate, it's God's hand. Without that, my friend, it's a pretty dim future. I want you to see the concept or the idea of remaining steadfast. A steadfast, confident life. Having this confidence, the Apostle Paul says. If you're reading it in the King James Version, he says, convinced of this. That's the idea behind it. They continued steadfastly in the Apostles' doctrine, in the Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. They maintain the teaching. They maintain the fellowship, the breaking of bread, the opportunity and the avenue of prayer, because they were remaining steadfast. What is this idea of being steadfast? Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. He says, therefore. You all know I'm going to say you're supposed to look and see what the therefore is for, right? But we're told to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, knowing that this is the concept that God has in His mind, for us to be immovable, immovable in the teaching, the doctrine, if you will. The concept of reproving one another, correcting each other, instructing each other in the idea of righteousness and living for God. O death, all had written before, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55, on down through the end of the chapter, we've got all of those. Physical death, as Paul is pointing out, was a good thing. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be that steadfast person. anybody be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. That's the idea. Moreover, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, these things I write unto you that believe upon the Lord, that ye may know that you have eternal life. That you may know that you have eternal life. Or, the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 3 and at verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That's the preaching of being steadfast. He's telling us about how important this is to us. But exhort, that means encourage one another daily while it is called the day, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And then at verse 14, that's down here on the screen, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence one, steadfast to the end. See how important it is to just remain being steadfast. You've heard me tell you over and over again, it's not hard to be a preacher. Just show up. It's not hard to be a Christian. Just show up. When people need something, show up. Give them what they need. Help them. Encourage them. When someone needs to be prayed for, pray for them. When they need to be encouraged by having something that they are in need of, whether that's food or substance or a spiritual need, do it. Paul would say in chapter 1 of Philippians 12, these things have happened to me to advance the gospel. He was writing, by the way, this is one of those prison epistles, and he's just simply saying, look, I may be bound up for a little bit here, but these are happening because the gospel needs to be preached. God wants people to remain and to be steadfast, unmovable, unashamed, believing, not afraid, ready to roll. You remember when God told Gideon to go over there in the book of Judges to put together an army? He did. He came up with about 32,000 men. He said, let all of the people who are afraid go home. He doesn't like crazy cats. If they're afraid, send them home. Well, they cut the army way on down. I think about 22,000 left because they were afraid. You don't need to be afraid. God has already provided for you. I'm not saying that I've conquered the ideas of so many of my own personal fears. I'm saying that when we know and realize that we are secure in Jesus Christ, nothing can overwhelm us. God will take care of us, whether it's here or there. In the days of these kings, Daniel writes in chapter 2 and 44, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people, but it shall break into pieces and consume all of these kingdoms. He's talking about the kingdom of Christ, and it shall stand forever. No wonder the Apostle Paul would be so strong in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 when he tells us, then finally, brethren, be strong in the faith. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God so you may withstand the wiles of the devil. These are words for our confidence, for your confidence. These are the kind of things I try to tell them in the smaller places so that they can be encouraged by what's written in the Scripture. The Bible says by Isaiah's word, chapter 2 and verses 2 through 4, that it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all of the nations will flow unto it. I'm telling you, my friend, that is the kingdom that is built by God the Father that you and I both know. When God is our helper, the church will stand forever. And the gates of Hades or hell or death will not prevail against it, as Jesus tried to tell his disciples. So Paul writes and tells them that they should be steadfast in the same Spirit, in the one Spirit, Holy Spirit, that Jesus gives to us. And we are obedient in baptism to Him. The church is always going to survive. Paul, Luke is writing of the events in chapter 20 of the book of Acts. He says about Paul and his preaching to the elders, take heed to yourselves, to all of the flock, which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Aren't you glad today that you are a member of the blood-bought body of Jesus Christ, the church? You ought to be thrilled about that. You ought to be confident about that. You ought to live a life that is steadfast, that remains that way, that doesn't have any fear. You're going to run into things in life that wants to take you off your course. Just stay on your course. Stay on the course. Stand fast in the one Spirit and in the one mind for the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or as Paul will say later in chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. That's the idea, brethren. Rejoice anyway. Things happen. Things happen. Why? Because the gospel, the church, is bigger than just you or me. It's everything that God has done for us. The gospel being preached, and souls being saved. Bob, this Bob, you live your life so that you will further the gospel of Christ. Live as though you are worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let other people know about it. Paul was trying to keep them from being ashamed when they heard his name being brought up or maybe associated himself because he was in jail. You know the stigma that comes from that. He was trying to let them know that he wasn't ashamed of that. He was suffering for Jesus. And he was letting them know that they need to be encouraged by that. That is, that they ought to live confident and steadfast. He that overcometh, the writer of the Revelator says in chapter 21 and verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and abominable and the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Be ye steadfast. Rejoice no matter what comes your way. Walk by faith, not by sight. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your soul. Live a steadfast life. If I could encourage you to do that, if it would take a opportunity for you to be restored today because you haven't lived that way, why don't you come while we stand here?